talk about what does the Lord require of you, or me, or anyone. In Micah, the 6th chapter, in the 6th through the 8th verse, it says, Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? This scripture is considered by many to be one of the most comprehensive statements in the Old Testament. And Micah sort of answers the question himself, what does the Lord require of you? We'd like to think that it was the answer back for the Jews, but it's also for our benefit for us in the Lord's church today. In Romans 15:4, it says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what do we think about this? What did the Lord require of Israel? It seems that he wanted year-old calves as burnt offerings. Thousands of rams were offered. 10,000 rivers of oil is the way it's referred to here. An offering of the firstborn child. God did speak some of these things. And in Leviticus 1:1-13, it said, And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill a bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his innards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, or for a burnt offering, he shall bring a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle his blood round about the altar. And he shall cut it into pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the innards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Seems like an awful lot of details about how they're to make this offering and how they're to give the offering. But it seems like that these kind of ritualistic sacrifices did not really please God. This is what he told him to do, and it seemed like it was very complicated. But he says right here that it's not acceptable. I mean, it's not what he desires. One could not please God by offering many sacrifices. We know Solomon and different ones, when they dedicated the temple, they offered tremendous amounts of sacrifices. And God ordained them. And obviously he accepted them. But it says that God required, what did he require of Israel? He wanted them to do justly. This means to us to act toward God and man according to a divine standard of righteousness that God established. It's revealed in his law. He revealed exactly what he wanted the Israelites to do. It seemed like everything was an offering that God detailed out how it was to be done. And failure to do this wasn't, he wasn't doing it justly. And it seemed like that this is one of the reasons the Jews went into captivity, that they were not making the correct sacrifices. In Zechariah 7 and 8 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the word, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all nations whom they knew not. Thus the Lord land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they had laid the pleasant land desolate." And in 8:16-17 it says, "But these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth, peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oaths, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." So he was wanting them to do justly. He was wanting them to love mercy. Mercy is a compassionate, warm heartedness toward man, is one definition in Halley's. One reason that they were to show mercy was that God himself is a merciful God. And in Micah 7:18 it says, "Our God and shall fear because of thee." God himself delighted in showing mercy. And we know that and understand that. And then finally, they were to walk humbly with your God. This involved living in submission to God. And it seems like that this can only be recognized, and the Jews could only do this when they recognized the very righteousness of God. But it seems like that they continually did not do this. In Isaiah 57:15 it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And then in 66:1 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of thy rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite, and trembleth at my word. He was saying that all things that man used to devise, to carry out what God wanted, God is the creator of it all. And it seemed like that he wanted the man to understand that he's not the creator, but God is the creator. He didn't really want ritual observances. He wanted them to do things differently. In Matthew 23 and 23, when Christ was said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." We know there were a lot of requirements that were placed upon the Jews, and everything was written for our understanding or for our learning. And what does the Lord require of us? And we might think, well, one of the things that, you know, we're supposed to attend services, we're supposed to come together, attend on Sunday. We know that's important. And in Hebrews 10:25, we have the scripture, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We understand that verse. And then also in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." It would seem like we're to be here every Sunday. That's important to God. He wants us to do that. But that's not exactly what God wants. He wants us to do all things justly. He wants us that to be the controlling factor in our lives. In Matthew 7:1, I would like to read this whole scripture. "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thy eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And he wanted them to, as we referred to there in the Old Testament, secondly, he wanted them to love mercy. He wanted them to have mercy toward man. He wanted them to have mercy, and he used the scripture in James 1. I'd like to read this scripture. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. We know that there are examples here for us. Things were written for our learning. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the Lord hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with him whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, whereof lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Different scriptures and that we're very familiar with. And I'm reading some of these and want you to understand that the things that were happening in the Old Testament, we have like things in the New Testament. And in all of this, it says even we are to do certain things toward our enemies. And in Luke 6 chapter, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn, and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful for to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did, when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him. Which is it not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue, and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. For he knew their thoughts, and said to the man that which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And then Jesus said unto him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out unto a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and one of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Matthew, and Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called Zelotes. And Judas, the brother of James, which also was a traitor. And it came down with them, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when you shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh, for ye shall mourn and weep. Well, and we know that he wanted them to walk humbly with him. And that's us today. He wants us to walk humbly with him. And in James, the 4th chapter and the 1st, I'd like to read this as well. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your hosts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight the war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think this scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, or not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, yet, and say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know that not that what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away? For that ye ought to say, if Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. And therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Obviously God's word has all of the answers and all of the instructions and tells us how we're to be living. He wants us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. It seems like all the rituals that man tries to make and equate to serving him are not important to him. He wants us to love him and be in submission to him. We've already heard to it many times, but there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was there in Acts 2:38. We know that it was quoted a number of times, but then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's very clear to us. Shouldn't be any question in our minds what God wants us to do. His apostles continued that teaching and that preaching and that doctrine. We today need to continue that, and God's word confirms all of these things to us. this morning is referred to in Romans 5, 8 through 11. And I think that's a good scripture. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, ye shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when ye were enemies, ye were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you have an invitation song, Bob?